quicum quantum filium simul adorator et cum glorificator in the magnificence of Spiritus Sancti. Amen. At the conclusion of today's Mass, we'll be singing the Veator, the Vena Creator, which, as you know, on Pentecost has a plenary indulgence, if, of course, you fulfill the usual conditions of complete detachment from sin, right? Reception of Holy Communion in the state of grace, and of course, a prayer for the intentions of the Supreme Pontiff. So, if all those conditions are met, you can have plenary indulgence this afternoon for singing the Vene Creator, which is different, of course, than the sequence of Vene Sancti Spiritus. The Vene Creator is a little bit different than that. Now, for almost all of my 20 years of priesthood, I've had the opportunity to interview the confirmation candidates in my parishes before they receive the sacrament of confirmation. Bishop Harrington started this practice in our diocese because he said it's not often that you get to have some dedicated time one-on-one to talk to a priest. The Bishop Harrington said that next time most of the confirmandi will have the opportunity to talk to a priest is when they come to the church to prepare for the sacrament of holy matrimony. So over the years, almost 20 years of priesthood, I have always had the opportunity to interview our confirmandi. And some of the questions I ask them are exactly the same. First of all, I'll say, what is the primary gift you receive in the sacrament of confirmation? And I get the deer in headlights look. And I say, well, let's see. Let me give you a hint. I'll make it easy for you. I say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the... And they go, Holy Spirit! I'm like, very good. The primary gift you receive in the sacrament of confirmation is the Holy Spirit. And then I say, now, who is the Holy Spirit? And they go, ooh, that's a good question, Father. And I say, yes, thank you, I only ask good questions. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Deer in headlights. Unfortunately, most of the confirmandi can't tell me. Now, of course, I take full responsibility. Perhaps I didn't ask the question very clearly. I'm sure that there was a better way for me to phrase my questions. And as every good teacher knows, every test reveals more about the teacher than the student. When my students did poorly on a test or quiz, it's always my fault. My teaching method, my metaphors and examples clearly were not very effective. Every test and quiz revealed to me what areas I had to go back and teach again because of my deficiencies. And so I would use new analogies and metaphors and stories to teach the point. So over the years, it's clear that I'm not doing a very good job about teaching the Holy Spirit. So let's review. The primary gift we receive in the sacrament of confirmation is the Holy Spirit. It's parallel to the gift we receive in Holy Communion. In Holy Communion, we receive the flesh and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. In Holy Communion, we receive the body and blood of God, the Son. In the sacrament of confirmation, we receive God, the Holy Spirit. You see, in both sacraments, we're receiving God Himself. In both sacraments, God comes to dwell in our souls. One flesh with the Son of God. And the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. I think this last point is the most We profess this every Sunday. We say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, Dominum et Vivifi Contem, Dominum, the Lord. That word was used in the Old Testament only for God. The ancient Israelites, every time they saw the holy name of God, I am, they never said that. They substituted the word Adonai in Latin, Dominus in English, Lord. It's a word that's used for God. And so we say we believe in the Holy Spirit, Dominum et Vivifi Contem. He is the Lord and giver of life. And then we say, qui cum Patre et Filio simul adorator et con gloria ficantur, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. The first commandment says we can only worship and adore God. And so if we are adoring and worshiping the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit must be God. How many people would say that the Holy Spirit is God? We think of the Holy Spirit as a dove. We think of the Holy Spirit as fire. Yes, it's true that the Holy Spirit descended upon our blessed mothers and the apostles and the forms of tongues, as we are in the epistle today. We know that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in his baptism in the Jordan in the form of a dove. But this is how the Holy Spirit manifests himself. Who would say so clearly? The Holy Spirit is God. And who would say that the Holy Spirit is a person? The great ancient philosopher Boethius from the 500s said a person is an individual substance of our rational nature. All of you philosopher kings out there have that definition memorized. Everybody knows a person is an individual substance of our rational nature, which means that there are human persons, angelic persons, angels are persons, and there are divine persons. And there's only three of those: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is not something created by God, like the sun, the moon, and the stars, like a parakeet, like an elephant. The Holy Spirit is God. How many people think that the Holy Spirit is just like a force? How many people think that the Holy Spirit is an energy field created by all living things? It surrounds us, it penetrates us, it binds the galaxy together. Just like Obi-Wan Kenobi described the force in Star Wars. Most of our young people think that. The Holy Spirit is not some important impersonal force. It's not the force, Luke. The Holy Spirit is not some energy drink that we drink to stay strong. The Holy Spirit is a person, a real divine person. And if the Holy Spirit is a person, that means we can have a relationship with a person. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that what distinguishes the persons of the Most Blessed Trinity are their relations. People today talk often about being in relationships. But before the creation of the world, before human persons and angelic persons were ever created, from all eternity, the three persons of the Most Blessed Trinity are eternally in relation with each other. persons of the Blessed Trinity. And what is so amazing is that the Most Blessed Trinity, who has a perfect relationship with each other among themselves, and has no need of us, wants us to be in a relationship with them. That is what is so amazing. That's why the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, took on flesh. That's why he suffered, died, was buried, he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit among us so that we could share in divine life, so that we could share in the relation of God. How many people say, "Father, I pray to God and Jesus," and I respond by saying, "Mom, I'm really confused because God is Jesus, so I'm really confused. You mean you pray to God the Father and God the Son?" "Oh yeah, that's it, Father." "Good. But do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Even more, do you have a relationship, a friendship, a communio with God the Holy Spirit?" We see in the Bible that our Lord was always in communio with God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is compelling our Lord to do everything, to go into the desert, right? We see with St. Paul that he is in communion with the Holy Spirit. He's always listening and talking to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, "I need to go to that city, and don't go to that city. And over there, there'll be suffering." Because St. Paul has a relationship with God the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So hopefully, you could all pass that confirmation interview. It's really not that complicated. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not some vague force or energy field in the universe. The Holy Spirit is a person, a real person, a divine person. The Holy Spirit is not in some galaxy far, far away, but comes to dwell in us through the sacraments. And I can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps one goal on this Pentecost Sunday would be to fan into flame our real, personal, intimate relationship with God the Holy Spirit. Every day after Mass, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to say a prayer to the Holy Spirit written by St. Augustine. I can still hear St. Mother Teresa and her beautiful Indian English accent say this prayer after Mass. I say the prayer every day because I have a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this prayer can jumpstart us into this relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. The prayer goes like this: "Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love the Holy Spirit. Strengthen O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I